the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us Tuesdays, coming off that Alabama game. Dave, I did not think that would be close down the stretch. And I'm sitting there watching Alabama trying to get the time off the clock to get the heck out of there. What is being said about the Gators in that performance?
Got to get off to a faster start, Bill. You know, you play better in that first quarter. That game probably turns out a little bit different for Florida, but you get down 21-3. You can't spot Alabama 18 points and expect to come back to win the game. But Florida still had their chance in that one, even given that scenario there. Didn't fold, that crowd was a heck of a difference. You know, you've been looking for environments like that ever since 2019 after the pandemic last year. You could definitely tell, you know, that was an environment that made a difference in that game for that comeback and helping hold Alabama in check just a bit as well. But, Florida probably should have started running the ball a little bit more. In the first quarter, they probably passed more than they should have, and I think they figured out along the way that it doesn't happen often, Bill, but they were beating Alabama up front. Florida outplayed Alabama for three quarters. You just got down so much in the first quarter. Another slow start for this Todd Grantham defense. But you rarely see a team go out there and beat Alabama up front on both sides of the ball starting that second quarter for Florida. So getting off to a better start probably makes a difference in that game, that Florida found something in that run game that they can probably rely on all season long. Emory Jones had the one interception, but he was able to play better than he did the first couple weeks, keep Florida in the game as well. A game plan built around his legs that helped this offense as well. Defense found some things starting in the second quarter. So definitely a performance to build off of. But the theme is no more victories there for Gainesville, for the Gators. You can take a lot from that. But there's a lot of things to work on at the same time for this Gators team. But Bill, I think now the question is for Florida. You know, does the ceiling of this Florida game change just a little bit after that performance on Saturday?
I've had a few people that were at that game say that's as loud as they've heard it in there in many, many years.
Yeah, but that was it was something to behold there, especially during that comeback there. In 2019, Auburn was another one too, just a couple years ago. But when Alabama comes to town, everybody's rearing and ready to go. So that it definitely made a difference. You could tell it did. Oh, you probably could tell on TV, but definitely in person there. I mean, it was loud, and it definitely affected what Alabama was trying to do. Credit to Bryce Young too. I mean, for him to be in that environment, Alabama's quarterback, his first road start. Communication was an issue there, but he didn't fold under the pressure. Now he didn't play as good as he did in the first quarter, and that had a lot to do with Florida, had a lot to do with the crowd as well. But you know, there was one pick that should have been thrown. Britton Cox, dropped a pretty easy interception right over the middle of the field there. But as far as a young quarterback going into that type of environment, credit to him as well, because I've I can't imagine being out there on the field and having those 90,000 fans screaming and as loud as it was there. But him and his first road start, you know, credit to Alabama there too, and their quarterback for getting their way through it.
What did you learn about Alabama in that ball game?
Bill, they had some questions up front, and if there was one advantage I thought Florida could have, and it ended up playing out, was Florida's defensive front versus the Alabama front. And it played out that way. Once Florida's defense settled down, their defensive line just took over. They dared Alabama to run. Florida was getting beat by the pass, getting beat in the flats in that first quarter. So Florida made some adjustments, maybe too little too late, but they've made some adjustments and dared Alabama to run the ball. Alabama ran right into it, and Florida's defensive line just took over in that game. So I think the biggest question for Alabama, especially on that right side of the offensive line, that's where they had their questions, that's where they had their issues, and it showed up versus Florida as well. So that offensive line, not as far as long, and then look, it wasn't going to be. That Alabama offensive line last year was something special with all the veterans they had up front there, but that was the big question there for them. And linebacker now, Henry, you know, Toa transfers in from Tennessee, and Dan Mullen exposed him over and over again with that Florida rushing attack there. So maybe in the trenches for Alabama, look, they're still good, and they're still the best team in the country. But I think when you start looking at questions for Alabama and what they need to start working on, they got to get that offensive line in order and gelling, and then that front seven on defense as well. I think their defensive line is still pretty good, but Mullen did some things there to help expose those linebackers. And up in the trenches, that's what I learned about Alabama, but still, they got the skill players, Bill. I mean, that first quarter, Florida had one-on-one matchups outside, just waiting to make a tackle. Alabama, yards after the catch, yards after contact. That was the big difference in the game in that first quarter, and that's what won Alabama the game.
Bama Mark says, Bill asked Gator Dave his thoughts about Mullen's adjustments. He says, I think Mullen always plays Bama well. He also did at Mississippi State. Most of those games with Mullen have been tight, he says.
Yeah, I think, you know, once they found out they could run the ball, Bill, I mean, Mullen, he didn't go away from it, and it made a big difference there. I mean, it didn't matter. You know, Florida had all three running backs doing some good things. Damian Pierce with a long, basically, like 20-yard touchdown run. That was basically to bring the game within 2 points. Malik Davis averaged almost 9 yards a carry. Naquan Ryan, that 99-yard drive Florida had to score a touchdown, was the player of that drive. I think he had 75 yards or something on that drive, if I remember right. So you had all three running backs implemented into the game plan. And once they figured out that those running backs were a mismatch, and Florida's offensive line, I think, you know, we wondered, Bill, after those first couple games versus FAU and USF, we knew the run game was better, but now you had your first test, and could that translate over? And it did. So I think what you're seeing now is Mullen probably can make a little bit easier adjustments, because this is the offense. This is his bread and butter. I mean, you had that Kyle Trask offense last year and that passing attack, and he was able to adjust to that. But this is the offense he knows. This is the offense set. I mean, he could call plays in sleep with this type of offense. So now I just think, you know, the adjustments are easier. And he spoke on that a little bit yesterday. Even the coaching staff, you know, John Hevesy and Billy Gonzalez, they know this offense. They built this offense together. So now you know how your players can fit into this offense a little bit better than what you were running the last couple of years. So I expect, you know, better adjustments than you saw it against Alabama, but it's probably something you'll see all year with this Dan Mullen offense and those adjustments.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get the podcast called Gators Breakdown. It's Tennessee week. I guess the Vols need some kind of letdown here to have a chance.
That is the big question on the Florida side, too, is can you keep up what you put on the field last week versus Alabama? And you can't have a letdown. That's what you saw from Florida last year. You beat Georgia, and then the performances after that Georgia game last year weren't the greatest, and then you end up losing to LSU the week before you play Alabama last year. So you can't have the peaks and valleys that you had in 2020 translate into 2021, and it definitely starts this week with Tennessee coming to town. You know, good thing is that it's a night home game for Florida, so the crowd to be into it. I'm sure the players will feed off of that a little bit too, but it all come in preparation this week, Bill, and you can't sit there and lick your wounds all week from the Alabama game. It's time to flip the page, and you can take a lot from it. But you got to be ready to play. This up-tempo Vols offense there, an up-tempo offense has given Todd Grant some trouble a whole lot since he's been at Florida. So that's something to look out for there. We'll see what Tennessee's quarterback situation holds. I know Heupel didn't say much on that yesterday as far as, clearing any or naming a starter as far as this Florida game goes. So something to look forward to. I know that Tennessee's competition hasn't been the best, but a pretty good run defense so far for Tennessee in their first three games. And after we saw what Florida did to Alabama in their first couple games this week, too, I think that's going to be the matchup to watch. I know that stat that was out there forever in this Florida-Tennessee matchup, the team that runs for the most yards ends up winning the game. It's kind of changed in today's college football with the passing attacks, but that probably will be something to look out for as far as continuing their rushing attack and see with the competition ramping up for Tennessee if their run defense still holds true.
And I meant to say this earlier, but there was some questions about Emory Jones going into that Alabama game.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the mood's very good about him right now.
Yeah, Billy, amazing what a week can do. There was barely any questions about Anthony Richardson in yesterday's press conference after a somewhat good performance there from Emory Jones. And Bill, you could tell. I mean, a much better game plan. Florida wasn't game planning for FAU and USF those first couple weeks, and I think that made a difference. They held Emory Jones into the pocket a little bit more, but this was the game you were going to see the offense unleashed, a better game plan, and they used Emory Jones' legs. I think that helped settle him down. He had some nice scrambles, some nice runs. That helped him get into the game a bit more. He did have that one interception, but it was either get rid of the ball or take a sack. He decided to get rid of the ball. He gets hit, ball floats just a little bit more than probably he wanted to, and that ball's picked off. But he didn't have those game-killing interceptions that you saw the first couple of weeks there, of throwing interceptions into the end zone and all that. He really cleaned up his game. Still got to work on the accuracy part. Still got to be a little more consistent in his game. But, he was an asset for Florida versus Alabama, and I think you'll continue to see both quarterbacks get a whole lot of playing time moving forward.
Tell everybody how they can get the podcast, Gators Breakdown.
Yeah, Gators Breakdown at newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Or your favorite podcast platform, YouTube version out there as well. Plenty of Florida, Bama post game, and looking forward a little bit to what Florida can take away from that game as we move forward to Tennessee.
Dave, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Gators Breakdown is the podcast. Gator Dave is his name. He does a very good job. He's been with us for many years. Joins us on Tuesdays. They are upbeat. Gator fans, from what I can surmise, are very upbeat right now after that game. We'll see. We'll see if that continues. Tennessee has not been putting up the last almost 20 years much of a fight in that Florida game. Butch beat him a couple of years ago. Remember that year Butch beat Georgia and Florida and then gave it all away down the stretch of the schedule? Remember that? For the most part, though, they haven't done anything since Ron Zook in that matchup. We're clear until we get to Griff, by the way. 615-844-5600, FNM Bank Hotline, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Cleanup continues as everybody stares at this crash here on 24 westbound and OHB here in the Hickory Hollow area. It was still slow a few minutes ago on 24 east trying to get past White Creek Pike there in the Jolton area from that earlier crash. Heavy traffic now right on schedule here in Mount Juliet, especially on Belinda Parkway trying to get towards the interstate. Oktoberfest in Obergatlinburg is September 24th through October 31st. Food fun, lots of music. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is not the only choice when it comes to buying, selling, or trading your vehicle, but it is the best choice. Located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over 3 decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget, and their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are in the right hands. If you're feeling rugged, check out their brand new Titans, or you might be feeling sporty and want to check out the all-new Maximus. And don't forget about their award-winning parts, service, and body shop. They have everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at nissanofrivergate.com, where they are open 24/7 or in person at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Or if you want to give them a call, it's easy at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a cast iron waffle and some prime rib hash, or a Kitchen Notes burger and grandma's chicken noodle soup for lunch. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Rusty Manziel's coming into town for the Georgia game, Georgia Vanderbilt game. And he'll be on with us early Friday before Kevin and before Brad joins us. He checked in and said, Bill, will you guys be on the road somewhere? We can hook up there. And no, we will not be on the road this Friday. So he will join us by telephone, probably around 6:20, 6:30 here local time. If you're on Eastern time, you're coming up from Georgia, that'd be 7:30-ish Eastern time. So add Rusty to the list on Friday. Again, not a big guesting show, but when it's time to get Rusty, we always make a slot for him. Always, always have room for a good friend, Rusty Manziel. I was looking earlier. Oh, and if you're into this sort of thing, if you're into game day, and a lot of people love that show, Saturday mornings, that's become an institution for many, many years. I don't watch it because it's just a waste of my time. But it's very popular, incredibly popular. They're going to be in Chicago for the Wisconsin and Notre Dame game. I was looking earlier because I've never made the trek from Milwaukee to Chicago. It's about 100 miles, from what I can tell, right down the lake. Almost due south from Milwaukee to Chicago. If I've got that right, I think I've got that right. Both teams can bus it probably, well, Wisconsin, if they're going to bus it, probably take them an hour and a half, 2 hours. Notre Dame probably doing an hour to get up that way. But, yeah, that game is the game that game day selected to be at on Saturday. And I'm looking forward to that game. I just want to get a measurement. I want to get a sodium pentothal measurement out of both those teams in that bowl game. Wisconsin lost early. That Penn State low-scoring game, if you'll recall, just a couple of weeks ago. Notre Dame's 3-0, but living very dangerously. Living incredibly dangerously, and they really haven't even hit the meat of their schedule yet. Oh, couple things. I don't usually look down the schedule much. I stay in the moment most of the time, but I'm talking about week or so down the schedule. Notre Dame-Cincinnati is a week from this Saturday at Notre Dame. That'll be by far the best team the Irish have played. And the Ole Miss-Alabama game is also that Saturday. And I haven't looked at all the games, so don't. Hey, Bill, you left this one out. Bill, whoa, Bill. I haven't looked. I just looked at those two. That's all I looked at. I was thinking about that in a couple of breaks prior, and I wanted to make sure I was correct about that before I blurted it out here on the show. Noel fan. In the 863 down there in the central part of Florida. Bill, have you seen Dillingham's comments? Wake Forest played man and we weren't ready. Couldn't adjust. Basically said he wasn't prepared. WTH, Bill. Fuller is no better. I saw that. People were pointing it out on Twitter on Monday. And boy. If you're going to be quoted, you got to do better than that as a coach. You don't want to portray that to your fan base. Nothing good comes out of that if you say we were ill-prepared. I'm just telling you. And again, I'm experienced being here and doing what I do, but you've got to calculate what you're going to say when you're a coach. And even if that is indeed the truth, and it is, I would not portray that to anybody. Yeah, I saw that. I just scratched my head. I don't know what's wrong with Florida State. Well, let me back up. We all can see that their personnel level is not good, top to bottom. That's obvious. But what I meant when I said, don't know what's wrong, I was trying to say, I'm trying to calculate the future with Florida State. That's when I'm thinking about Florida State, I'm thinking about a broader picture. And right now, I don't see a lot of evidence about the future. Now, can somebody go in there, take that job, and get them back to where they're prominent? Of course they could. But right now, things feel somewhat bleak. They're not getting better. They don't look well coached. And again, Willie Taggart's not even there anymore. There's not a lot of momentum on either side of the line of scrimmage for them right now. And I guess the best part is they play in a league that, frankly, isn't all that good. Clemson is not Clemson as we speak. Not the Clemson we're used to the last 5 to 6 to 7 years. Their offense is bogged down big time. They're very, very limited personnel-wise offensively. And we talked about this on Monday. Dabo Swinney's even quoted as saying, guys, this is what we are. You're looking at it. There's not some secret that we're going to unleash on everybody that you've yet to see. This is what we got, as we would say here in the South. This is it. And what they have right now is an offense that does not score the ball comfortably. They just don't. It's not a good look. I had that Georgia Tech game on. lots of games on, and it was hard to watch. Now, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, it was a good game, close game, but from a Clemson point of view, see, when I watch Clemson play regular season games, it's always about Clemson. When they play, it's about Clemson. It's not about the other team, in my mind, because they're the superior team. And I want to see what they get done. And right now, they're hard to watch. Now, their defense is very good. But offensively, they just don't have a lot that scares you. They don't have a lot there that worries you compared to historical Clemson. Yeah, not right now. Buckeye Brenda, Bill, Wisconsin campus in Madison. Well, that's true. I was thinking about Milwaukee. Yeah, that's true. Good point. She says it's a 2.5-hour trip. Yeah, I was equating Milwaukee with Madison. It's a very good point. I was surprised when I was looking around how close Iowa City is to Chicago. What is that? Am I wrong? Is that about a 3 or 4 hour drive? Thought so. Tom up in Milwaukee says, Bill, north of the border in Wisconsin is the Mars Cheese Castle. Most states don't even have a cheese castle. And there's a picture of it right here. I've never seen that. That's new. West Coast Sooner. Bill, DJ is not that good. Game manager that is not comfortable leading an offense. Not as good as the experts projected. Right now, not a whole lot's being said there. Maybe over at Clemson there is, and we just don't hear it. But he is not real, he doesn't jump out at you right now. West Coast Sooners saying that. I agree. Now, I don't know if it's more about the talent that's around him. And by their measurements, it's not a lot of talent. Or if it's partially him. I think that's a question mark. But he is not, watching them play, he has not done a whole lot to jump out and grab me and say, wow. Now, last year in the starts he got, and mainly the Notre Dame game, right? Didn't he start? He started another game somewhere in there. But Notre Dame game, I thought he looked really good. Now, again, he had a lot around him. He had a stud running back around him, and he had more playmakers on offense around him than they do now. And that was in a tough environment. Jason down in Alabama. Bill, Fox's College Game Day show is much better than ESPN Game Day. Bob Stoops is interesting to hear. I had given up on Fox many years ago. Their BCS coverage was kindergarten level bad. And I would have it on because that's how you watch those championship games, but it was just awful. And it was like Fox did not understand what you have to do to be competitive with ESPN. It was like they either didn't care or didn't understand, and I couldn't figure out which one it was. That's changed. Their studio show, if you're just a football dude, okay, dude or dudette, okay, and you don't care about the fanfare and the signs, and a lot of that stuff's funny, okay, I'll give it to you. And the shtick, which is game day, which, again, is an institution, it's incredibly popular, and you just want to hear football, the Fox show's better. That's the better show. And I never thought that day would be here. I did not think that would happen. Johnny Vegas, Bill. The Clemson defense has not given up an offensive touchdown yet. They're very good. They've got those young defensive linemen, Brian Brazee and those guys, they're very gifted. Maybe they win pitching two hitters in baseball terms. Jason, as in Hawkeye Jason, Bill, Iowa City to Chicago is just over 4 hours. In 2012, Iowa played Northern Illinois at Soldier Field. That Northern Illinois team went to the Orange Bowl that year. Did they not play Florida State? Somebody correct me. Isn't that who? Didn't Florida State play them in the Orange Bowl that year? Jeff, too, said, Bill, you didn't look ahead. Excuse me. You mentioned, Bill, you hated looking ahead, but October 2nd is an outstanding football weekend. Ole Miss at Alabama. Cincinnati at Notre Dame. Arkansas at Georgia. Michigan at Wisconsin. Auburn at LSU. He said, I only mentioned that game because we'll find out a lot about both teams in that game. That's an attractive schedule it is. Wow. Yeah, that OOP that week is going to be highly debatable. Controversial. Joe says, Bill, Jason is correct. College football on Fox is much better now. It is. Yeah, it is. They get it, and I don't know if it was a change at the top. I don't know their structure very well, so I couldn't tell you. Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill, which is worse, the Vanderbilt defense or the Buckeye defense? That might be the only time in the history of college football, and I'm talking about forever. I'm talking about dating back to the 1890s, that anybody has compared Ohio State and Vanderbilt. Well, maybe Gordon Gee has. Gordon Gee was the chancellor at both places. Now he's at West, by God. That'd be about it. I like Gordon Gee a lot. Remember when he stood up at the sweater vest press conference? This is before the sweater vest got run. And he said, to the question along the lines of, do you think there's a chance the sweater vest gets fired? And Gordon Gee said, I'll be lucky if he doesn't fire me. Remember that quote? Josh goes on to say, Bill, I'm not even sure Ohio State could beat Bishop Sycamore right now. That game would concern me at the very least. Somebody want to go ahead and bring out the Helen Keller thing? It's been a few weeks on that one. I don't think that Ohio State's defense could defend Helen Keller. And I'm a big fan of hers. Always have been. Andy. Bill, I'm surprised ESPN has not been able to get Gus Johnson away from Fox. He is the best. I love Gus. His games, even if the game on the field isn't all that good, and most of them are, he keeps me energized like no other play-by-play guy. I agree. Coming right back. Griff, later in hour number three. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Go
Good morning. Cleanup continues as everybody stares at this crash here on 24 westbound and OHB here in the Hickory Hollow area. It was still slow a few minutes ago on 24 east trying to get past White Creek Pike there in the Jolton area from that earlier crash. Heavy traffic now right on schedule here in Mount Juliet, especially on the Linda Parkway trying to get towards the interstate. Oktoberfest in Obergatlinburg is September 24th through October 31st. Food, fun, lots of music. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown. If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. A cloudy start to our Tuesday morning. Highs today around 82. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms coming in. Lows around 60. For Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, lows 67. For Thursday, sunshine, highs near 70 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, this is Rocky. Sports Radio
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Jay Cutler's burner account. Bill, have you heard RG3 do commentary on ESPN? He may be the worst guy in the booth ever. Jeff in the Burrow and Wolverine Dan would do it better. I've had a few of his games on. He's got a ways to go, yes. RG3's a heck of a dude. I interviewed him in Dallas. I think it was the year he won the Heisman, later that year. And remember, he was coming off an early in his career. I believe his freshman year, he blew his knee. RG3 was a track star, too. Back in high school, just a superior athlete with a big-time arm and everything you want. Everything you would want in a talent. And remember talking to him about that knee, but it might not have been. I don't know if it was that same year or not, but it might have been. But heck of a guy, man. But in the booth doing games, much to be desired. Now, maybe that's because, is this his first year? I'm assuming it is. Like I said, when players go on to the NFL, I lose track. I don't know where they're at in their career and what year it ended. And I don't even I don't pay attention to it. But I'm assuming this is his first year. Jay Cutler's burner account added to that team that would go against the Buckeye defense. I said Helen Keller. He said add to that Manti Te'o's girlfriend playing wide receiver in that game. So Helen Keller, quarterback, Manti Te'o's girlfriend at wide receiver. And Kerry Coombs would not be able to scheme that. He'd say they came out in a formation that we did not prepare for, and I didn't know what to do. I was just clueless. Jeff, too. Bill, I know you don't like the NFL, but do yourself a favor and check out Peyton and Eli on ESPN2 during Monday Night Football. They tell amazing stories and have outstanding guests on. The first one I saw parts of, and it looked good. I didn't see the one last night. I forgot. Folks, I don't even remember that Monday Night Football is a thing. In the afternoon, I'm working, I'm doing whatever. It doesn't even occur to me that Monday Night Football is coming up. I don't even, my brain doesn't even click that direction. That's how irrelevant it is. I love Peyton and Eli. No, he's right. From what I saw on that first broadcast, I thought they were really good. I didn't get to see very much of it. I'm sure it's good. I've seen a lot of people comment on Twitter about it, and they've all been glowing. What did I read? They've got a 3-year deal to do 10 Monday Night Football games each year. Peyton and Eli. Lane Kiffin. Baby Kiff suggested a week or so ago, why not get them to do the Ole Miss Tennessee game coming up here in a few weeks? I don't know if there's anything there that they could get done or if that would be changing somebody's broadcast schedule or what that would entail. I don't know, but that would be very interesting. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the end game is for Ole Miss, but that is a very good-looking, well-coached football team right now. Baby Kiff. Jay Cutler's burner account. Bill, for your information, the Lions lost last night, 35-17. Got to let that front office work their magic. They're going to do some good things. That's quoting Wolverine Dan. Yeah, that's coming from Wolverine Dan. I didn't know, folks, I didn't even know who played. Monday night, what was I doing? I think I was watching highlight clips. Usually I'll settle down after dinner or something, and I'll start pulling up various games and going through some areas. Like, I'll pick out moments in a game where I want to review what happened. And then I'll go through a lot of games like that. A lot of times Monday, that's what I end up busying myself up with later afternoon into the evening. Usually what I end up watching. I'll look up some things too and go. Sometimes I'll go back in history and peruse some things just because I find it fun. I'll just pick a year and I'll go back through and I'll comb through there because I love college football. I just love it, and I love the history of it where you go back and you pick a time frame or something and you remember. There were so many moments in the 70s and 80s that would apply so well today and would be social media heroes. I mean viral heroes is what I mean. Moments that occurred in the 70s and 80s. So many of them. Controversies. Things that would be totally, as we would say, the younger generation, would be lit. So many. I'm telling you, the list is infinite. What you could pull out of there if we could apply today's setup with social media and immediate news and everybody commenting on it, it'd be incredible. Griff coming up in about 32 minutes, I think. Griff will be with us later, hour three. I do know that. We are presented by the beautiful structure, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Cleanup continues as everybody stares at this crash here on 24 westbound and OHB here in the Hickory Hollow area. It was still slow a few minutes ago on 24 east trying to get past White Creek Pike there in the Jolton area from that earlier crash. Heavy traffic now right on schedule here in Mount Juliet, especially on Belinda Parkway trying to get towards the interstate. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg is September 24th through October 31st. Food fun, lots of music. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whoever gets hired at any school, the fan base is immediately hypnotized. Once that guy stands at the podium and he says, go team, and here's the way it's going to be, and I'm a winner, the fans automatically just melt. They could hire a guy you've never heard of from a different planet, and once that guy's done at the podium, you'd say, there it is. Happens every time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Big Joe checking in this morning. Says, I feel bad for the number one Monday Night Football announcing crew because nobody's listening to them. My timeline was all Peyton and Eli. I don't even know who the number one crew is. Tess was doing it, and you all know that we love Tess. And apparently that was a disaster. Now, I don't think it was anything Tess did wrong. I think Tess is one of the best play-by-play guys out there. Matter of fact, other than Gus, Tess is my favorite play-by-play guy in the college game. Much better than Fowler. I love Tess. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years either. It's been a couple of years. When he would come in town, we'd always get together. And I haven't seen him or talked to him in a while. 614 Rob. Bill, Lane Kiffin is the front runner to replace Saban when he retires. Ooh. Baby Kiff backed Alabama. Now, remember, his exit there was abrupt and very bad. Baby Kiff, that day and apparently the night before that Washington semifinal game, Baby Kiff was not a good boy. Baby Kiff had reverted back to him and his spoiled brat days. And it was so bad that the coach, Nicky, said, don't come back for the championship game. Get your stuff and get out. That's odd timing, y'all. But Nick felt it necessary, if you'll recall. Now, so if he went back someday, eventually, I mean, his resume is really looking good right now. I have no idea what Alabama would do, but resume is looking good. Johnny Vegas says, Bill, another way to look at it for Florida State is their fans would love to be 2-1 right now with Kerry Coombs as their defensive coordinator. They'd love to have those players too, wouldn't they, that Ohio State has. Gator Mike, Bill, reason Dan the Man, Mullen, is such an elite coach is he went from the number one team in passing last year to the number two team in rushing this year. Schemes to his players. I'm glad he's a Gator, says Gator Mike. Chris down in Alabama. Morning, Bill. I watched the two brothers, Eli and Peyton, last night, and as a former quarterback, it was fantastic. They told some great stories, and Eli was giving his brother hell about his huge forehead. The Mannings have always been a family that gave each other a lot of bleep. All in fun. All the brothers and Archie included. They've always been a family that constantly gigged, jabbed at, if you will, the other. Always. You remember that? Back to that Pro Bowl, and I don't even know why I had the Pro Bowl on many years ago in Hawaii, and Eli had gotten arrested on the Ole Miss campus for either open container alcohol or public drunkenness. I don't remember which one it was, and Eli's not a bad guy at all, okay? Eli's a good guy, and it's a sideline situation with Peyton Manning. And he's pouring himself some Gatorade. And the camera and mic's on him in his uniform. He's sweating, Pro Bowl, all that. And he looks at the camera and says, Eli, Gatorade. Drink Gatorade. Do you remember that? I'm not kidding. They're always, always poking at the other guy. And again, always in fun. Josh up in London. Bill, when Ohio State hired Ryan Day, the fans were more skeptical than anything. We didn't buy it right away. Mike says the Monday Night Crew is Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and somebody else. That's not a very good crew. No. Not good at all. Topwater Assassin. Bill, speaking of old games, in ACC country, used to get those old Jefferson Pilot instant classics. Loved watching Woodrow Dantzler, yeah, the quarterback, at Clemson. we got the Jeff Pilot. They did the ACC games back then, and they did the SEC games back then. And I remember watching them. Always watch those games on Saturdays. Yeah. I don't remember. Those started somewhere. Did those go all the way back to the 70s? They might have. I remember more in the 80s than the 70s. But, yes, I remember those very vividly. That's before ESPN came in and took everything. Said, we've got more muscle. Let's go. Coach's hot seat, Bill. If Saban retires this year, the job would go to Mario Cristobal first. And Mario would walk to Tuscaloosa from Eugene for that job. Wow. I don't think Nick's retiring anytime soon. Obviously, that could change, but I don't see that happening. Maybe I'm just wishing, but I don't see anything in the near future for Nick. Unless this team turns into the 2010 team and knuckleheads him out of the business. I don't see that happening. Griff coming up in about 20 minutes. Omni Nashville Hotel.